Now please sit back, close your eyes if you choose to, and just join me in this consciousness of the One. One mind, one power, and one presence working through each and every one of us this morning. That power, that presence directed us here, guided us here, has us all here together this morning in this consciousness of unity, of peace, and of love. So let's know that we are open and receptive to the truth, to wisdom, to something that will allow us to make today and this week a little more significant, a greater week than last week. Let's know that our minds and hearts are open to a greater good in life, and that whatever perhaps needs to be healed is healed this morning, and that each and every one of you go home with a pearl, with something that allows you to see deeper within yourselves and allows you perhaps to be more compassionate, more tolerant, more patient, and certainly more self-loving. In gratitude, we release this, we let it be, and together we say, and so it is. So our theme this month is timeless practices for our times. And last Sunday, we talked about the nature of the thing itself. We talked about that first chapter in the introduction. And we decided that the nature of the thing itself is a universal energy, a universal mind, a universal intelligence or spirit, or the creative intelligence of the universe, which humanity refers to as God, and all the many, many different words that we have for God, whether that's the divine or higher power or simply the word love, it makes no difference. We're just affirming that there's only one absolute power in the universe, and it is individualizing itself in and acting through each and every one of us. We could say it's the one spirit back of all expression, or the one power back of all creation. Universal mind or universal spirit works for us by working through us. It's really as simple as that. This week we're discussing the way it works. Now I think you all already know this, but I just want to review something about our thoughts. The wonderful thing, or the good news sometimes and the bad news about thought is you get to think anything you want. Right? Well, how many of you ever had a negative thought? How many of you have ever had like one of those obsessive negative thoughts that is like just glommed onto you and it seems like it just never wants to leave? Well, the good news about it is thought is creative. So, of course, we can think anything we choose to think. If it's negative, we can shift it to something that's more positive, and certainly vice versa. We know how many millions of thoughts we have each and every day. Part of this teaching is about getting that under control, changing the way that you think so that you can actually change your life. So your thought is creative. Now the important part of knowing that is because by it you are actually providing a mold for the law or this thing to work through. The only value in actually realizing this is that it gives you control over your conditions and your experiences. It is not licensed to control people, however. It just allows you to have control over your conditions. So this power works that we know. We've all probably had an experience of something within us that is working when we're not telling it what to do. You all went to bed last night, I'm assuming, and if you didn't, that's fine too. But at least some of you got a little bit of rest. There's a lot of people snickering over here on the left. There must have been a party or something. I don't know. Anyway, what happens is when you go to bed at night, have you noticed that you don't have to instruct your kidneys or your gallbladder or, you know, your liver or anything to keep functioning? You don't have to tell your heart, you know, to be sure and keep beating now, keep beating, or your lungs to keep working, right? There's some power within you that just makes that happen, and you're asleep, and you really have no idea, and you wake up in the morning and you take another breath, and all night long, all those things somehow are controlled. So let's call that the power within us that is greater than we are, that is doing all that kind of work. So we're very aware of the power in that situation. This thing or the thing works for us by working through us and in us. Here may be the real kicker, and what it really works through is our belief. How many of you have some beliefs you'd like to get rid of and exchange them for some other kinds of beliefs? Okay, this power is always there for everyone to use. It isn't personal at all. You can always count on it. And as much as you believe will be done unto you, in any way you choose to believe it. Because we're speaking about belief right now, it reminds me that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. Now, Dr. King said, "I have a dream today. I have a dream today." And behind that dream and that declaration, he believed it. He believed it. And behind that belief, he had a very strong conviction of faith, which supported this huge vision that he had. And he believed things that nobody else believed. And he even believed things that nobody else thought could ever really happen. He did really believe that injustices could be removed. He really, really did believe that there would be freedom and equality for all races. And he also believed in the rights and the dignity for all people. The thing he did with his vision was he embodied it. By embodying it and becoming one with it, he was able to actually become the vehicle by which his vision came into manifestation. And he said something. He said, "I'm not fearing any man. I just want to do God's work. I've been to the mountaintop. Oh, I've seen the promised land." And then imagine the challenges that you may have in life. Imagine how many conditions and challenges and situations and opinions of other people he had to rise above. He had to stay lifted up with this dream. He had to know it. He had to trust it. He had to believe at some level that it was already accomplished. And what did he say? He said, "I've decided to stick with love. Hate is just too big a burden to bear. I've decided to stick with love. Hate is just too great a burden to bear." On page 37 of our textbook, Ernest Holmes said, "We cannot realize that it is while we are believing that it is not." As much as we can believe with faith will be done unto us. It works as belief and through belief. Jesus' famous statement, "It's done unto you as you believe," is the basic foundation of this teaching. Our belief sets the limit to our demonstration of a principle which of itself is without limit. And by demonstration, we mean manifestation or result. So we go back to the fact that the law is impersonal. Yep, we got that. It's mechanical. Yep, we got that. And it's always working, no matter what kind of mood you're in, no matter whether you like it or not, it's still always working. But let's talk about the misuse of the law. Let's talk about the use of this law for evil means. we would say, well, it's not the fault of a flawed law, so to speak. It would be then our use of it. So we say, well, it really works best if we recognize our unity with it rather than perceiving a presence of duality. The example is the fire that warms your home can also burn it to the ground. It's not the fault of the fire. It's simply the misuse of it. Now, this is a great example because we've certainly seen a lot of this, haven't we? When you're cold and freezing, you love to sit by a fire and be warmed. There's nothing negative or bad about that at all. But when we turn on the news, or perhaps you were in an area that needed to evacuate, and you watch this same fire burning homes to the ground, it brings a whole other belief and process to the mind. And that's a misuse of the law in whatever way it is. So we want to keep remembering that it's our belief that sets the limit to a principle that is, of course, limitless. It is also our ignorance of the way this intelligence or universal law of truth actually works that causes our experiences to be less than perfect, or may cause even our existence to be less than perfect. I like what Dr. Holmes said in our textbook about good and evil. It made it very clear for me, because we say there's only one power, and that's a power for good. There's one power used in two ways, but there's only one power. And Dr. Holmes said, "The time must come when we shall have left the apparent evil behind, when it shall be rolled up like a scroll and numbered with the things which were once thought to be. As we gain a higher perspective of the reality, we will then accept and expect today more good than we experienced yesterday." Believe in good, and good is what you will experience. Believe in the opposition to that, and that's what you will experience. There's no need to get mesmerized by evil doing. The more mesmerized we become by it, the more magnified it becomes. The more attention we give something, the more it expands. It says in the Quran, "Whatever good you have is all from God. Whatever evil is all from yourself." So that gets us thinking a little bit, doesn't it? Whatever good we have is all from God. Whatever evil is all from ourselves. Now, it may not be intentional. It's the way we look at things. It's our perception of things, our perspective of things, our description of things, the way we label things, the way we express our likes or our dislikes. This brings me to the question of heaven and hell. How many of you grew up thinking hell was certainly a place to go and that you might end up there, and that the other option was heaven, and if you're real, real good, maybe you'll end up there, we're not sure. But there were two options. You were going to either go to heaven or go to hell. And then we discovered, heaven's really a state of happiness within me. It's not a piece of real estate or something to purchase in the future. That heaven is a real state of being right now. That the kingdom of heaven is within us. and that we can be sure that it's there unless we've put it somewhere else. Hell is also a state of mind, and it certainly is an option. And we say, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. How many of you have been through hell a few times or so in your lifetime? Yeah. It's a journey, right? But no point in stopping. Keep walking. Keep making the trek, as we say. So the kingdom of heaven is within us. I think we understand that maybe 50% of the time. But it's within us only because that's what we've decided to discover it. If heaven is already within us, then we've never ever been separated from it because it couldn't certainly pop within us. It had to already be there. And I would say that it's a thought, it's a feeling, or it's a choice that we have. We have that choice to abide in harmony and peace and wisdom and power, or to abide in something else. But the kingdom really means a strong belief in unity, not a belief in duality. It means a strong belief in wholeness, in goodness, in oneness with God or our creator source. It means living in spirit, inspiration, in spirit. Instead of wallowing in negativity or perhaps discord, we have an option, and the option is to view the world as perfect. Now Jesus said, if I be lifted up, not dragged down, will draw all men unto me. If hell is just simply a discordant state of mind, and it really is just a belief in duality, which is a separation from God, then it really isn't a place to burn in. It really is an inner state of mind that also courts a belief. And I think it's a very interesting observation. That state of mind actually courts a belief that our good is always going to be. It never actually is, it's always going to be. Now, we can call it whatever we choose. We can call it hell, or we can call it evil, or we can just call it negative, or a crisis, or a conflict, or a struggle that we're having in life. However, all of those things that I just named many times become things that turn into our gifts of growth. All of those things are opportunities for us to grow. We sometimes can call them blessings or blessings in disguise, or sometimes it takes us a while to say, oh, I guess that was a blessing. Many times it doesn't look like a blessing right at the beginning, does it? Especially when we're growing. I saw the other day online the chrysalis of the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. I was fascinated at the sort of struggle that it had to go through before it had legs and wings. And it didn't look like it was any too comfortable. Again, that was my perception. I don't know. I didn't hear any screaming or yelling or anything like that. But it looked like it was taking some real muscles to be exercised in order for this transformation to take place. Now, I say that because many times we can feel like that. We can feel like a caterpillar, or you're feeling so stretched and not really sure where this transformation is going to take you, or as we say, the breakdown be for the breakthrough. I think if we look at life giving us gifts of growth, we will not only grow faster, we will probably grow at a much deeper quality and caliber in our growing. If we look at things presented to us to trip us up or to test us or something like that, then it might have a different meaning than this is just an opportunity for growth. This is an opportunity for me to exercise a muscle that perhaps up until now has not been exercised. And it's going to be the very muscle I'm going to also need in order for my vision, my goal, my aspirations to be fulfilled. So never think it's for nothing. It's always exercising something that we may need for the good that we're up to. Have you noticed that life has many contrasts, many colors, many fabrics? You've all had more than a dozen experiences in life, right? You've had many, many, many experiences. Some of them have been, you know, if you rated them from 1 to 10, how many of you have had a lot of 10s, a lot of 10 experiences, and 9, 8, 7, 6, and a lot of, how many of you have had some really minus one experiences that you would like to never have again, you know, right? So there's a gamut of fabric and color and contrasts and things like that. And it's amazing how we grow through it all. You're all here, right? You all landed on your feet somehow. I always say that I'm always amazed at the strength of the human spirit. I'm amazed at the strength of the human spirit. We're so strong. When we look at the things that people come through and go through and grow through, it's amazing how resilient, how much strength we have, how much courage we have. And then even after that, how much more faith we have, how much more our faith really does expand and grow after we've come through something. After you've come through some sort of transformation and you settle back down and have those gorgeous, beautiful wings now and you fly off, don't you oftentimes look back and say, it must have been a dream. Must have been a dream. How did all that happen? I couldn't figure it out and I couldn't explain it if I had to. How did all that happen? How was I like just this caterpillar on the ground, like not just a few days ago, and suddenly now I'm flying around looking at the world from the mountaintop? Those are the kinds of things when we start recognizing them, we start giving this power more power. It wants to be used. It wants you to acknowledge it and to recognize it and to keep using it so that you'll have more good, so that you will expand into even a greater butterfly. You know, it wants you to have everything that you so choose to have because it's invested in your happiness and certainly in your well-being. I think we grow through it all. And I want to add a few things that might be considered negative things, but to me, there are things that happen in life, and I think we need to acknowledge things that happen to us in life as we talk about the contrasts of color and fabric and experiences in life that we grow through. And we grow through it, whether it's disease, whether it's a mental conflict, whether it's some sort of pain, or it is an accident, or a broken heart, or a financial setback, or many times through war, whether it's political or economical or holy. Isn't it always an opportunity for us to apply and to certainly demonstrate the principles of love and faith, the principles of forgiveness and patience for yourself as well as for other people. I think the most rewarding thing is when you come through some really cruddy experience and you still love yourself and you still have a pinch of faith, as my grandmother used to say. Even a pinch of faith is enough, like a pinch of salt, you know? Even a pinch of faith is enough. And that you still have forgiveness and some patience for yourself and some compassion for yourself and for what you've been through. I think those are important things for us to stop when we look at the way this thing works. When you can say, I know none of that was personal. I know that was some sort of gift or blessing of growth for me, and I can't explain it. And I have no idea how I got through it. I can say that about many things in my life. I was talking to someone this morning, and we were talking about experiences of the past and laughing and sort of saying, wasn't that fun? And my comment was, well, the great thing was I lived through it. And that's really sometimes all we can say when we look back is, I lived through it. It's amazing. And many things seemed like a dream, and many things seemed like I have no idea who that could have happened to. I don't think I could have come through that. So we have a couple of choices. We can wallow in the negativity. We can wallow in the discord. We can have a pity party, but don't have a long one. And then also we can view the world as perfect. And I'm really serious about this. If there was a time that we needed to view the world as perfect, now would be the time. This is such a great exercise in not judging an appearance, in not looking at what we think we see through our own human eyes, but staying focused on what we want to see, desire to see, not what necessarily our naked eye thinks we are seeing. The other danger is believing everything you think. Don't believe everything you think about yourself, another person, or the world. So the importance is the world really is perfect, just as perfect as you are. You're absolutely perfect. There was no mistake when you were created, and there's no mistake in maintaining and sustaining that. And the sooner you acknowledge your perfection, the more powerful you become. The sooner we acknowledge the perfection of the universe, the greater our relationship with the universe becomes. We don't live in little compartments. When we're criticizing something outside of the self, that's called the universe, whether it's person, place, or thing. Would we be able, and would we be willing, disregarding all the evidence to the contrary, to really rise above as students of truth and maintain the fact that we do live in a perfect universe? Here's the second part of that, and among perfect people. And among perfect people. So here we are, all living in a perfect universe among perfect people. Every one of you in this room is absolutely perfect, are you not? Yes, you have to be. We all create our own universe. We just talked about we do that through our belief. That doesn't mean that we can just disbelieve something and it makes it so. It means we have to look at how we want to believe what we think we're perceiving. Many times in life, it will look like it's falling apart when it is actually coming together. Many, many times before the greatest gifts, the greatest breakthroughs, the greatest miracles happen to us, something happens before that. Maybe the spiritual sledgehammer. Whatever it is, usually, and I'll get into it in a minute. If we refuse to believe the opposite and change our own thinking, imagine what a collective belief and change of thought will do. Eventually, you will prove that your position is correct. For that which appears to be imperfect will then begin to slip from your experience because your declaration has been to believe in perfection, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the appearance might look like. Because we're perceiving something, and then we're sifting it through our belief system, And then we're saying what that means to us. But we don't know. We don't know. We don't have the full story, usually, of anything, do we? So we want to be cautious and careful about what we do with this thinking and the way that it works. Because eventually you will prove your position correct, whichever way it is. If we could have a conversation with people about the perfection and allow the imperfection to simply slip away, we would be then talking to people's belief systems, because that's what it's about. I have a strongly held belief about what something should look like. And when it doesn't look that way, I'm upset, disgusted. Go on, all the words there are. There's never anywhere to look but here. Because something out there has to be a projection and a manifestation of our own consciousness. Somewhere you had a violent thought. Maybe it was passive, but it was there. Maybe it was about yourself. Maybe it was about something else. Maybe it was about the world. Maybe it was about the weather. I don't know. Somewhere you've had a thought in duality before. And how many of you in this room have ever acted like a complete donkey? A few times in your life. And didn't walk away maybe very proud of it. Right? So we've made mistakes, correct? Look, this isn't to justify anything. It's not to rationalize anything. It's to take you through the thought process of what we do with what we think and what we believe, so that we can choose another way so that this doesn't have the focus. Because all I know is one thing for sure. Wherever my attention is, usually my intention is there as well. And my attention and my intention, along with my strongly held and righteous belief system, becomes very powerful. And then what happens is we get a little agreement. This is how a race mind consciousness begins. I talk to you about something, and then we agree, and then we talk to somebody else, and pretty soon we all agree that this is a whatever we want to call it. So as Ernest Holmes said, we must turn from the appearance, turn from the chaos, to peace. Turn from what looks like duality to unity and to oneness. And what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to look and say, where am I split? Where am I ever feeling separated? When was the last time I wasn't so diplomatic? How is my gauge of civility? Whether you cut a car off, whether it was a silent act, it doesn't matter, because there's nobody out there but reflections of our own consciousness on a different level and different, but it's still the same. It's a mirror. Now we have to select, we have to decide, we have to have a talk with ourselves. To decide which is it I'm going to focus on. If you were leaving a position that you no longer wanted and you were going into a position that you did want, but you had to stay in this position for a while because it was just your responsibility or whatever, but you're through with it, what are you focusing on? The position that you're leaving that is maybe giving you not such a great vibration? Are you focusing on what it is you actually desire? Because when you focus on what you really desire, what your dream is, what your vision is, man, you've got so much energy, so much power, and so much passion. That's how this thing works. It doesn't work through the lazy mind. It works through the mind that's enthusiastic, the mind that's energetic, the mind that wants to change and move and grow and expand and use the power for something greater. It wants you to have a dream. It wants you to have a dream with conviction and faith and compassion, even though there isn't agreement. It wants us to have that same kind of power and presence, and then using the power and the presence that God gave us. As much as we can believe will be done unto us, I cannot say that enough. As much as we can believe will be done unto us. When consciousness speaks, the law automatically receives and then it executes. You plant a seed, the law is invoked, the mechanical side of nature takes over, and it's actually unknown how it all happens. But we do know something. We know that it's specific, and we also know that it is direct. Because so far, planting carrot seeds don't give you lima beans. Right? That's as complicated as your new idea of a seed being planted is. Be sure what you're planting. Be specific. Be direct. Be sure it's for the good of the whole. That it is legal. I'll leave that up to you. I don't want to judge. And then remember that you speak your word just like Martin Luther King did. I have a dream, he said today, not tomorrow, a year from now, a couple years from now, maybe. I have a dream right now, right this minute today. All I have behind it is faith, conviction, a desire, passion. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know I have a dream, and that's what I'm going to focus on. And that's what's going to get the sum total of my thought, my will, my purpose, my belief, because that's what the law reacts to. The sum total of your belief. Not what you'd like to believe. Not what you pretend you believe. Not the act that you put on. But what you really, 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 really believe. And that's why when people say to me, oh, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and I've treated and I've treated and I've treated and I didn't get what I wanted. You have to look only one place at what is it I actually believe. Because if you speak your word with that kind of conviction, then there's only one place to look. As we say, ignorance of the law excuses no one from its effects. Whatever we can believe, and of course accept with enough faith, will be done unto us. On page 283 of the Science of Mind textbook is probably the greatest definition of faith. And here's what Ernest Holmes wrote about faith. He said that faith is a mental attitude which is so convinced of its own idea, which so completely accepts it, that any contradiction is unthinkable and impossible. 283 of your textbook, write that page number down so that you can go. Because he says, faith is mental assertion elevated to the plane of realization. So we have faith in the invisible side of life until it becomes visible and the unseen becomes real. And then he says, faith isn't hope, it's substance. Then let's talk a little bit about acceptance and demonstration because the two go together. So we don't see this principle at work. I know you get very impatient with your demonstrations. Like, when is it going to happen? It should have happened at least an hour ago, and it isn't here yet. I just spoke my word, and I did all this, and I did all that. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I engaged in this creative process. So we look at what it is we believe. And the other thing is we have to look at our acceptance, how willing we are to accept, because we don't see the principle at work. We don't see what's happening underground to this seed. And we can't always understand the reason for certain steps being taken. That's part of a creative process. Dr. Holmes makes it very clear in this statement on page 174 of the textbook. He said, the possibility of demonstration does not depend upon environment, condition, location, personality, or opportunity. It depends solely upon our belief and our acceptance and our willingness to comply with the law through which all good comes. The universe does not deny us anything. Yet, we cannot demonstrate beyond our ability to mentally embody an idea. It's entirely a question of our own receptivity. If certain ways of thought and certain beliefs have produced limitations, other beliefs will change that. We say that we must really treat or pray to believe. And that's what Jesus said. I'll heal you, but you need to heal your unbelief. So it's the do I believe that I can be helped, that I can be changed, that this can be healed. Spiritual mind treatment, which is affirmative prayer, is direct and it's very specific. Why is it direct? Why is it specific? Because we're working with consciousness. We're working with a conscious movement of thought. And the work begins and ends in the thought of the one who's giving the treatment. What we can accept works through our treatment, through our prayer. Every prayer is answered the moment it is uttered. It's really planting specific seeds. It's showing a sense of unwavering faith that it is done, that the demonstration is complete. We say that it is already complete, and we give thanks in advance, just exactly the way that Jesus did. And then we say, well, a complete treatment brings a complete demonstration. It's to remember that we're not coercing things to happen or willing things to be done or efforting and trying to make things be another way. Things are simply brought into being by the power of that self-assertive truth. See, the gardener doesn't have to will his potatoes into being. He does have to have a willingness to comply with the law of nature. He does have to provide the conditions so potatoes can be potatoes. He does have to make it possible for the law to produce them, right? Just like if you plant something, you might have to weed the area around where you planted it. Well, if you plant an idea, and as soon as you've planted the idea, you have a negative thought or a belief of why that can't happen, you want to do some weeding of that negativity, right? Just like you would in your garden. I want this beautiful plant, but I can't have both. The weeds are going to pretty soon start to choke it. What if I decide, I just don't think I'll water it. But it needs watering. We need to water the plant. Maybe it needs sunshine. Maybe your idea needs more of you. Maybe your idea needs education. Maybe your idea needs more belief. Maybe your idea just, whatever your idea is, it might need something. Maybe more of your attention. Probably for sure, more of your belief. So affirmative prayer or treatment, like we have for you on Sunday, assists us in getting into that consciousness that knows perfect being. Because spiritually, everybody is perfect. But if you don't know that, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the ego mind, and it's certainly not perfect unless you're in it, and then you have to argue for it. Then you're arguing for your limitations. But spirit is huge. It has no beginning, it has no end. It's infinite. That's what you're using, an infinite potential. Think of that. This potential, this power that I'm using is infinite. I could do anything I want. I can have any thought I want, any belief I want. And if I don't like this belief over here in lack and limitation, then I'm going to come over here and I'm going to believe in abundance. And I'm going to believe, oh, but your neighbor's going to say to you, but what about the appearance? You know about the appearance. There's where you have a choice. What are you going to go with, the appearance or the dream? Are you going to go with the naysayers or with your dream, with your heart's desire? Guess who planted your heart's desire in your heart? Guess who did that? God. That is your heart's desire. That's God. It's hard to get away from those, you know? They just kind of keep tugging at you. Even though you keep trying to go in another direction, it keeps bringing you back to this direction. So again, we're not coercing things to happen. We're allowing and letting things happen by means of us, by also tending to the garden in our mental household. Treatment has a wonderful power in that it can rise above situations, just like the faith in prayer does. The truth is not limited by any condition. The only thing that's limited is what you believe. Therefore, if it's not limited, then it creates a new condition all the time, and that's what you do all the time. Many, many people will say to me, you know, since I've been in the teaching, other people seem to be a lot nicer. Other people seem to be really much easier to get along with, especially my family. I used to say that. It was like, God, my mother has changed so much. Our conversations are like really cool now. Well, she was 92 and she hadn't really changed all that much. You see, we're transforming and changing out of consciousness at such a high vibratory rate, we don't even know it and we don't even feel it. And we are. And that's why when you stop it, it doesn't like it. And that's why you feel the way you do when you stop something, or you shut down, or you don't allow yourself to be authentic, or to be truthful, or to be who you really are. That causes that backup in the energy. So we want to be sure that not only are we rising above appearances, but that whatever condition it is that we're believing is a condition that we're settled with, that we stop believing that. You can change anything you want to change. You don't even have to be thinking the thought that you're thinking right now. You could think a completely different thought. You don't even have to be thinking the thought that might be telling you that you're tired or you're bored or I wish you'd stop already. I'm hungry, I want some coffee. You don't even have to have that thought. You could shift that thought to some other thought. Whenever you're sitting and you find your thought wandering off to something that is just sort of feels like this inactive thought, change it into at least something like, I'm abundant and inheriting $451 million today. Wouldn't that be a better thought to think than that I'm bored and I'm tired and I want to get out of here and I have so many other things to do and I could go on and on and on. We all have the same monkey mind. It all says the same stuff all the time. Or, I don't know if I can really believe this stuff. You don't have to believe it. It will prove itself to you. And then you can say, oh, I see what I do believe. How many of you believe in more lack and limitation than you do in prosperity and abundance? You don't have to raise your hand, but just look. It's like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Ah, I'm rich. Because you are. And the more you claim it, and the more you declare it, and the more you understand it from a spiritual point of view, the richer you become. Inside and outside. But as soon as you pinch it, and as soon as you go back, then you have to start all over again. Now, you probably think I'm talking about that because we're getting near the end and pretty soon we're going to have the offering. And what a great lead-in, right? Boy, she's cagey. It just shows you what I was just thinking. I actually am not doing that at all, but that's what I was thinking you could be thinking. I don't know that you're thinking that, but that's what I was thinking that you could be thinking. I think you could be thinking a lot of things. If I could take a picture of some of your faces while I'm talking, I think that I should hide underneath the pulpit. Some of the looks are like, oh my God. But you see, I learned that everybody likes me, that you all like me, even if you don't even know me. I know you like me. And so that makes it so much easier for me to just not look at the look on your face that looks like something different, because it's just a thought that I'm thinking about what you're thinking. And it's probably not even true. And how many times do we do that? I do it all the time. I pass somebody in a crosswalk, and I think, oh, boy, they're in a grumpy mood. I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. You know, people were thinking a million different things all the time. But wouldn't it be great if we started doing it consciously? What a concept. What an idea. I'm going to consciously be thinking about wellness and happiness and peace and prosperity and all of that today, no matter where I go, no matter where I am. I'm not going to be stingy with my joy. I'm not going to be stingy with my happiness or smiling or whatever it is. You know, when we talk about spiritual mind treatment, I always think of people kind of think it's some weird thing. It's just affirmative prayer, and it's something that you all ought to be practicing. And the more you practice it, the more powerful it becomes, and the more you start to see that the stuff that you write down or that you speak actually happens. If you continue to consistently do that, that's just the same thing as doing affirmations. How many of you started somewhere doing affirmations? But before that, you didn't know what an affirmation was from sitting on your affirmation. You didn't know what an affirmation was. You were like, affirmations? Okay, and you started doing them. And then pretty soon you started to see, geez, some of this stuff really works. Imagine if you did that every day, if you got up tomorrow morning and said, you know what, this is my plan for the day. Everything comes to me with grace and ease. That meeting I didn't want to go to is canceled, thank you, God. And this that I have to do is somehow gets magically done. And I actually just have to show up today and smile and be joyful. All those things that I thought were on my to-do list are really just to-have list, to have it already done and already completed. I challenge you, tomorrow, you're probably all off, right? It's a holiday. Ha-ha! Okay, so Tuesday, if you're not off tomorrow, write out your plan for the day exactly the way you want it to be, as though it already is. Just like Jesus did, I give thanks that the Father within doeth the work. I rejoice and I give thanks that my Tuesday is like a kick bloody fabulous Tuesday. It is the greatest day, and be direct and be absolutely specific. In an affirmative, declarative tone. Will you do it? Will you raise your right hand and promise? Promise? It's a gift to yourself. I promise you. It's a gift to yourself. And then you can come back next Sunday and report. Because it's an active thing. Treatment is an active thing. It's not a sitting around hoping passive thing. It's an active knowing recognition of perfect being. Let's say that. I am a perfect being.
I am a perfect being.
Living in a perfect universe.
Living in a perfect universe.
Altogether, I'm a perfect being living in a perfect universe.
I'm a perfect being living in a perfect universe.
Okay, now never mind the seeming imperfections in your experience. Never mind. By recognizing this infinite mind at the center of everything, you can think good or perfection into form and into any form you choose. You choose the form. You decide whether it's money, a relationship, a house, a boat. You choose what the great form is. The experience of peace, the experience of harmony and love, and all the good that you want in your life depends solely upon your belief, your acceptance, and your willingness to comply with the law through which all good comes. To comply with the law, that means do what's right, and you know what's right. The law of your life will establish peace and harmony around you automatically, because that's just the way that it is. That really is the law, and this is the way it works. And so it is. Have fun. Adios. Okay, sit back. Take a couple of deep breaths. Let's know that right where we are, there's peace, there's harmony, there's laughter, and there's love. And let's take a moment to embrace the entire universe, all people, all places. And let's bring them into this powerful consciousness of unity, of love, and of acceptance. And let's just pour love and peace and harmony and faith all over them. And let's know that we are at one, that we all agree in peace and harmony, that we all agree in laughter and love, and that we all agree that we are one, that there is no separation, that we are each individualized expressions of this infinite one, of this divine power, and that we use it in the right and perfect ways, and that it comes back to us in the right and perfect ways. That today we have shifted. We have had an internal, radical shift. That we choose to see the perfection in the world, in the universe, in ourselves, and in others. That it's all perfect. And that we individualize that perfection. And that we can choose to think whatever we choose to think and believe whatever we choose to believe. But let's know that our belief, our acceptance, and our faith has expanded, has grown, and that our consciousness has expanded and enlarged and is willing not only to give more, but to also receive more. For as the rain cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so it is.